You're listening to episode 50 of the Tennis Vaz podcast with special guest Allen Iverson.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Tennis Files Podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 50 of the Tennis Files Podcast. My name is Mehrban Iranshad, and I'm the host of the show. And today we have a great episode with Allen Iverson. And no, he is not the famous basketball player that we know back in the day. Allen is actually a very successful teaching pro and sales rep for Babolat, which is one of the most highly regarded tennis brands out there. They have superstar athletes like Rafael Nadal and Joe Wilfred Tsonga, among many others. And today, Allen is going to educate us about how we can best go about selecting rackets and strings for our game. And he's also going to give us a glimpse into all the excellent products that Babolat has. Obviously, I know a lot of you out there, including myself as well, use Babolat rackets, strings, you know, shoes, all those types of things. And so it's always great to kind of just get an overview of what's out there. And I did a similar episode with Preston Lemon for Wilson. And so obviously Babolat should be, included in this type of review. So I really hope you enjoy it. Let me know your feedback on iTunes or on any platform you're using to listen to the show. And again, I appreciate you joining, and I hope you enjoy this episode with Allen Iverson. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tennis Files Podcast. I'm here with Allen Iverson from Babolat. He is a sales representative for Babolat. Obviously a wonderful company. I use their products and their racket currently and string. So really a pleasure to have an expert like Allen on the show. He is, one of the top sales representatives around. He won or was awarded the 2014 Tennis Industry Sales Rep of the Year. He's also a USPTA P1 with more than two decades of teaching experience. So he not only has a lot of knowledge and experience with products, but also teaching as well. And in 2012, Allen was Babolat's National Salesperson of the Year. I believe one of his peers mentioned that his knowledge of Babolat is better than anybody that he's ever worked with. So definitely for the right person to have on the show today to talk about Babolat products, which so many of you all use or at least are interested in potentially using. And Allen also played number one at his high school, and he played all 4 years at in college as well. Up in Irvine. So, Allen, just want to welcome you to the Tennis Files Podcast. I appreciate you making some time to speak with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me come on. I'm excited to talk about Babolat products. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's awesome, to have an expert like you around here. So, Allen, I just want to start off by asking you, how did you end up becoming, such an expert and highly respected sales rep for Babolat?
Well, it's a process of time. I played juniors in college and was interested in product. I started working in pro shops when I was 16 in stringing, and then I worked at Racquet Club of Irvine and ran their pro shop and worked teaching. And so I learned a lot that way. And then I met other people with Babolat that were interested in maybe transitioning me into the sales job that I'm now in.
Nice. That's awesome, Allen. And so Babolat was pretty much the first and only brand that you worked for in tennis?
No, I worked with my first and only ones. And really, it was an interesting thing because, certainly I'm a salesperson and I like selling. I wasn't really sure about when I started because I was more of a tennis enthusiast. I just love product. And I came to Bala because I was just such a strong believer in their product. When I started with them, it would be 8 years ago in July, they were number four in the market, not number one where they currently are in rackets and string. I just chose to go with Bala just because I was a great believer in the product and what they do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's obviously a lot of great brands out there, but Babolat's great. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't be using it. But, you know, I love doing a lot of research into, you know, my guests and stuff. And so I saw an interesting story about you, a traveling expedition, I guess you had, 125-mile round trip. So I guess I just want to ask you about maybe what is the farthest that you've ever traveled to promote the Babolat brand? Because I know you go a lot of different places to do that.
Well, it's an interesting thing because, you know, I was somewhat of an expert when I started with Babolat in rackets and string, but they really furthered that education. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, I just came back from China. So I was in southern China, about an hour and a half out of Hong Kong. We actually got to go to one of the racket factories, one of the shoe factories, where they kind of continue to educate you. I mean, it was fascinating. 1,000 pairs of hands touch a pair of shoes before you get it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into building the product. And really, that's the interesting thing for Babolat in general, because they're not really a marketing company. They're not a big corporation. It's a family-owned French tennis company. They're really builders. And they started with, you know, obviously VS Gunners, their string that they started within 1875, they used to make strings for violins. And then, a racket manufacturer called Bussey, which is out of England, about a year into when tennis just began, came to the Babolat and asked them to make strings for rackets. So that's how they started. But China is the furthest I went. And that was certainly a long trip.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. And so, you know, of all the things that you get to do, you know, because of being a Babolat sales manager, what's your favorite thing about the job?
Well, I think it's people and product. You know, I like talking about product. You know, sometimes I get to go to BMP and work at the tent there and sell product. But I like talking to dealers. I understand their perspective. I like to talk about product, and I like to talk to the end consumer and see what their thoughts are and see what they're experiencing. It's just a lot of fun for me.
That's awesome. I'm curious what tournaments you mentioned Indian Wells, but do you commonly go to other pro tournaments as well, or like, you know, on occasion, if you could name some of them?
Not so much. I used to go to the LA Open when we had it, you know, so I would work that tournament. So that's, you know, I do demo day events at clubs and other events like that. But the big tournament I go to is Roy BMP, which is a lot of fun because it's just such a well-run tournament.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best ones in the world for sure. Been there a couple times myself. Always a fun question for the guests, well, most of the time. But what are three things that most of the world doesn't know about Allen Iverson?
Okay, so the first, I'm a twin. I have a twin sister named Adrian.
Wow.
And I was born on June 1st, which is Gemini Moon. The second is that I love country music, more the modern stuff, but I love country music. And the third is my favorite tennis player is Thomas Muster.
Nice.
Because he came back from a knee injury like I have. So I had a couple times hurt my knee. So he was always an inspiration to his work ethic. And he's coming back from that accident that he had.
How could your favorite player not use Babolat? No, I'm kidding.
it's a tough one, you know. I mean, certainly Nadal's up there too because he's been such a, you know, such a gracious competitor, and obviously his success has been amazing. But he's such a gracious guy. He's actually born in June also, in a very sensitive competitor. If you look at his Facebook posts, he's very emotional and honest about what he's experiencing, which is awesome.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, I mean, both those guys are really awesome. Nadal is just incredibly humble, like you said. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you and I chatted, you know, a little while ago about Babolat and the history, and it's very interesting. So I guess I want to, you know, go there and ask you pretty much when, where, and how was Babolat found it. Just, you know, give us the backstory of, I mean, you gave us some of that, but I mean, just, you know, go more in depth into just the history of BabaLot.
So BabaLot started making, was a maker of strings for violins.
Right.
And the founder of Tennis in 1875 came to them and asked them to make the gut strings for tennis rackets. So that's really where it's all started for them, was with string. And, you know, they still make the VS Gut now. I mean, it's the best selling string for power, tension maintenance, comfort. Nothing still can compare with gut in that level. So it really all started with strings for them. And so even the early development, you know, the pros that supported, from Bjorn Borg to Pete Sampras to Kim Clijsters, they're all gut users because of that history. You know, if you talk about the four musketeers out of France, even helped to further develop that. And they were, you know, that was kind of the interesting thing about BabaLot working with pros in the pro tours. So Gene Barata, Jacques Borgman, Rene Lacoste, who invented the Lacoste brand, you know, Henry Crochet, who's won eight Grand Slams and six Davis Cups, they all helped to develop the VS gut that we know now. And it was really kind of part of what BabaLot's always done, which is work closely with the pro tour. Even in the 1980s, they started a system where they actually traveled with the pro tour and strung for the pro tour for 20 years. That's one of the reasons why you find that the BabaLot rackets, you have one head size, but four different weights. So they're thinking like a racket tuner. You're finding the right weight for your swing, not the other way around. And so things like weight and balance and how the racket swings, it's all an art form to make these rackets. And it's interesting talking to the people who developed the product, because even as a player, your player is going to go out and try rackets. You know what you like, but you can't really always define that sensation. Let's take an analogy another way to string, which is really 70% of the performance of your racket. A player might come to me or to you and say, hey, wow, this new polyester string is really helping me hit the ball harder, which really isn't the case. Polyester slips better for spin, and it's a stiffer material, so it gives you more control. Now, because of that more control, maybe you feel like you can swing harder, and in essence, you're producing more spin, but not really more power. It's really the string giving you the control and the confidence. Mm-hmm. So it's just defining sensation, all that. Even at the pro tour, you'd be surprised. A lot of these guys are so great because it's all by feel for them.
Yeah, I mean, super important. You know, sometimes when you use the right product or string and you just get a way better feel of the ball, all of a sudden your confidence just skyrockets. So definitely huge. And so would you say that, because I was wondering what your first, BabaLot's first breakthrough product was. So would you say that was the VS Gut then?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Because that was 1875. What's confusing really for people is BabaLot only started making rackets 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they've only been 17 years in the U.S. It's been an amazing launch to number one, kind of mystical, but in the sense, not surprising, because you might not know why you like it, but you can tell that this racket just plays better. I mean, you now have had a little more experience with a BabaLot racket that you might not have had before, but the easy way the racket swing and the big sweet spot and the forgiveness you get even on off-center hits, really throughout all our lines, makes the rackets easy to play with and more powerful to play with. And I think that translates well to a customer who's really looking for something to give them an edge in their performance.
For sure. I mean, you know, it makes me think of like the Pure Aero. It's, you know, used to be the Aero Pro and such. That, I mean, I don't think I've seen a racket that's more widely used across like the different levels, you know, from people who are like a 3.5, for example, all the way to the Pro Tour, which is, just shows kind of the versatility in that line and BabaLot's products. So that's pretty awesome. Of all the pros that BabaLot has sponsored, who do you think has been the most pivotal, or most influential for the brand, furthered the brand the most? And, you know, you could name a couple if there's more than one.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the Four Musketeers, Four Musketeers I mentioned earlier really helped to develop the VS gut as we know it.
Right.
So that was kind of the first part of that connection. And then really on the racket side, it was Carlos Moya first, because he used the pair drive and he won the French Open with that and got to number one in the world using the pair drive. And then you had Kim Clijsters and Andy Roddick come out with the pair drive and win the U.S. Open. So they were really key components in that. You know, on the string side, Bjorn Borg and Sampras were very influential, and they had the stencil, and Baumot was the first one to put stencils on a racket. It was their idea to use the string. They really promoted the string well that way. Yannick Noah would be in that too. So string side is definitely those guys. Racket side, it really started with Moya, Clijsters, Roddick. Of course, Nadal has been amazing because he's so popular. I mean, not all pro players really sell rackets, but Nadal really connects across such a wide range, to kids, to women, to male adults. He's such a good connector with his followers that it's been amazing. So on the shoe side, you know, when he started shoes in 2011, but Andy Roddick, of course, was our guy really promoting the shoes and helping us develop the shoes for quite some time. He was great.
Yeah. How long did Andy, you know, work with you guys on that? And I guess I assume that he was with Babolat staff and just like testing it out and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, you know, part of the partnership on the footwear end was right from the beginning in 2011, they worked with Michelin, which is, of course, in Michelin, if you say it in French, to develop, you know, the important thing about that is two things. A, the consistency and quality of the rubber is good, but also they've developed different tread patterns. So I'm going to give you a little teaser here. We're going to come out with a new jet shoe. It hasn't been announced yet in terms of when it will ship, but it will actually have different fibers in the rubber, kind of like a tire that Michelin's helped us develop. But the tread and the rubber uniqueness, the Babolat product, is one of the reasons why the shoes have done well. In fact, the Jet just got named best overall lightweight shoe by Tennis Magazine.
Wow, congrats.
And that shoe is really not very old. So it's been an amazing run for them on the shoe side also.
Yeah, that's super, super impressive. And obviously we're going to get a lot into rackets, you know, later on as part of the review and such. But, you know, of all the lines that Babolat has, which line do you think has been most successful so far?
Well, if we talk about models, the Pure Aero, used to be called Aero Pro Drive, is the number one selling racket in the U.S. and the world. So that model itself is the number one seller. And the Pure Drive line is the number one selling line of rackets. Now, the Pure Drive line, you know, like Moya and Clijsters and Roddick use, is really where is the heritage rack where everything all started for Babolat. And so that line is the best-selling line because it has oversized rackets in it. The best-selling oversized right now is Pure Drive 107. There's also a Pure Drive 110. So that makes it the best-selling line of rackets.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, no, it's not surprising. I mean, I use the Aero Pro. I'm using it now, or I guess I was using it, and then you know, when you kindly sent me the Pure Aero to check out, I mean, I pretty much fell in love with that racket. And it's definitely tough, you know, choosing rackets. And it was a struggle, I tell you. I mean, obviously, there, like I said, there's other great brands and I out there as well. And I did like the Blade a lot, Wilson Blade. And then I also, at one point, it was between that racket and the Pure Strike. And I struggled for many days trying to decide. And then all of a sudden, I tried the Pure Aero and I was like, oh my God, you know, it's like a mix of my previous racket, the Aero Pro, but with an amazing amount of more control, in my opinion. And it's just a great, really great racket. So no surprise with your answer there. But yeah, I mean, Of all the interesting facts about Babolat, I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of nuggets out there. Are there any others that you think are pretty interesting for us to know about?
Well, I think it's interesting to understand. It's a European company. It's a French-owned family company out of Lyon, France. And they develop and produce a lot of their own product. And even product like when we went to China to see, they have their own builders and their own supervisors of how that product's done. The European perspective is kind of different from the U.S. Let me give you an analogy. You know, they've come over here many times. I've done play tests with people in Southern California to try out and test out new product because they want to be close to their consumer. And there's something I want to tell you more at the end about that I think your audience really going to like. But it's all about them understanding and having good history and quality. Really, the European perspective, like let's say we had a problem with a computer in the U.S. What they tell me that the product developers in Europe is that the U.S. people will just throw a bunch of data at that problem, figure out where the problem is, and fix it. Kind of practical, pragmatic. On the Europe side of things, they're going to figure out how the computer thinks so they understand why it's producing that error. Mm. So the whole idea, history and quality and getting the process right is really important for them, being innovators and understanding the whole thought process that makes a great product. So they're really thinking about customizing a racket specifically for you as the player versus developing a product for the mass market. Much different mindset versus the American, which is more mass market.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely a different approach, which has worked very well for the brand. So it's definitely really cool to know. I was also wondering, and obviously I know you don't, well, maybe you do, but you probably don't keep like stats of like all the pros as far as how long they've been with Babolat. But I'm curious if you might know which pro has been the longest, a part of the brand the longest.
Well, Nadal's in that mix. I mean, I think he's 12. You know, Nadal, I mean, it's interesting his connection to Moya's, his coach. You know, Moya was an influencer in that. And, right. You know, he was a top junior, you know, in the world, you know, even very young. You know, Gasquet was in that mix also. They used to play each other in the juniors. And he's really been really a long-term guy. And that's why it was so great, you know, last year when they were able to re-sign him to a contract just because he's such a key influencer in the game of tennis.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's amazing. Alan, now I'd like to kind of dive into, you know, the different racket lines. Obviously, we mentioned some of them, but I guess I want to start off this section by asking you, what rackets in Babolat's line should players look for if they are a beginner or intermediate player, would you say?
Well, let's talk first a little bit about the demo process. And then we'll go into that. You know, what you want to do when you're demoing a racket is this is basically going to become your hand. So you're trying to find a racket that matches the feel you like. And the process now got more complicated because of stringing. So we'll leave that out of the picture right now. But what you want to do is find a racket that you like and play with someone you normally play with because you could be thinking this racket is making a big difference. And then the partner that you normally play with says, wow, it's not really making any difference at all. So play with someone you normally play with. And if you find that you don't like the racket that much initially within the first 10 to 15 minutes, you're probably not going to like it. Mm-hmm. Find something you like, play with someone you know, and then if you like it, start to play some matches. Because part of the challenge when you get a racket isn't just the power you can create, but the power you can control. So you're trying to find the right brand of racket that's going to help you hit hard, but also control. So we're looking for those two things to come together. In the racket line, what we've been very successful with on the Babolat side is, to your point, the Pure Aero line, the Pure Drive line, work well for a lot of players. In this sense, the Pure Aero and Pure Drive are 10.6 ounces of strong weight. A lot of people tend to like a lighter racket. So as a beginning player, if you go lighter, like let's say a Pure Aero lighter, Pure Drive light, they're the same weight at 9.5 ounces. When you go lighter, you get a racket that's easier to get to impact. you're going to lose some power and stability because the weight gives you power. But it only gives you power if you can get to impact right. Mm-hmm. We make other weights. We make a team weight, which is in between the lightweight and the regular pure air weight, or a tour weight, which is even heavier for a very advanced player. Mm-hmm. But typically, you want to start out lighter in a mid-power, pure driver, pure arrow. That's typically the best go. If your swing speed is let's say you're elderly or you just have a very short and compact swing, that slow speed, then consider using a bigger head size, like a pure drive 110 or potentially a 107 or 115. The bigger the head size, the more the power. That's good. As long as your swing is short, you can make the impact. So those are kind of the variables you're working with, taking string out of that equation.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Definitely valuable advice for people who are trying to figure out what racket they want to use. And so obviously there's different iterations of certain rackets. What does the, because this is the one that I like, what does the VS stand for in the rackets, the racket lines?
Well, the VS, you know, it started with the Four Musketeers when they helped develop gut to a higher level. So when you look at our gut line, there's a VS pouch, which is our 16 gauge, and a VS team, which is our 17 gauge. And that's the Four Musketeers, you know, the French guys, and they really had an amazing run in tennis at the time with their Davis Cup titles and Grand Slam wins. But they worked with the pros to develop this better grade string, and the rackets kind of signify that too. So if you look at a Pure Aero VS or VS Tour, the difference is in weight. Those rackets have been developed in respect with the pros. So Jack Sock is in the Pure Aero VS. Mark Delbonis at Argentina won with that. He was also wearing the Jets when he won Davis Cup this year. Ryan Harrison's in that racket currently. We've had former greats like Stevie Johnson using that racket. If you want to go back to number one in the world women, Athena Petroma were in the Aerostorm version of that racket. We do also do a Pure Strike VS, which is even more control, a completely box frame racket that does well also. They're really player approved rackets.
Awesome. And also as far as the Pure Control, is that the one that's now the Pure Strike VS? Is that what that is now?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. We make that in two weights. You know, the weighting for the Pure Strike VS and VS Tour and the Pure Aero VS and VS Tour are a little bit different. It's 10-4, but with a little more weight in the head versus our normal 10-6. In 11-3 at the Tour weight, we're normally with a Pure Drive Tour or a Pure Aero Tour, it's 11-1. Because that racket, since they're more controlled, you put a little more weight in the head on the heaviest weight. And same thing at the 10-4 weight, that's why they make it a little lighter. It actually swings a little heavier than 10-4, but it feels that way. So there's a little more weight in the head with the elliptical line of rackets, like a Pure Driver, Pure Aero will swing a little easier.
Gotcha. It's awesome. And also one thing I noticed with the VS, I mean, you know, some rackets, I mean, I think it's a lot less common. Well, first you have like the 18, 20, 16, 19, very common, but the Babolat Pure Aero VS is a 16 by 20 string pattern. So what is that? How does that impact rackets in general with the 1620?
You know, they're both 98s. The head on the Pure Aero VS and the Pure Strike VS Tour weights also is a 98. And it's really the exact same head, the difference being that on the Pure Aero VS, it's the throat is elliptical and not box frame, so it curves a little bit more. That player is looking for spin, but a little more control. So that added cross is giving just a little bit more control to that racket and to that pattern. Whereas an elliptical racket, we're typically 16 by 19 in a Pure Aero and Pure Drive to open it up and give that more powerful racket a little more spin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense into why I felt so much more control with the Babolat Pure Aero VS from my Aero Pro from before, because the previous one was 100 square inches and it was 16 by 19. You know, the one that I'm trying on now is a 98 square inch and 16 by 20. So yeah, that's great stuff. And also, I mean, I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference, but are there certain rackets in Babolat's line that are better suited for, you know, maybe serving volleyers or you know, versus baseliners or anything like that?
Well, we basically have three pillars of rackets. So the three pillars that we have are the Pure Drive line, which typically for serve volleys will work pretty well because it's a pretty responsive racket head. It's really made for someone who hits spin but more through the court. Part of what you're looking for, because the Pure Arrow is more about power and spin, but the Pure Arrow has a stiffer throat but softer head, whereas the Pure Drive doesn't have a soft throat, but it's not as stiff as the Pure Arrow, but it's stiffer at the tip. So part of it's the response you want. We talked earlier about, you know, power created and power controlled. If I like a very responsive feel, then I might like the Pure Drive. The amazing thing is, you would think with Rafa Nadal using the Pure Arrow that that would be the number one racket used on the Pro Tour by Babolat players. It's actually the Pure Drive. Wow. So if you think about Fognini, Beneteau, Muguruza, you know, these are big Pure Drive users. We actually have, you know, Bouchard is now was using it as actually switched back in the Pure Arrow, but we've got a lot, we've got a good mix, but Pure Drive is still the number one used racket. You know, also what's happened for us is the Pure Strike line has come into fruition for us. Actually, the Pure Strike 16 by 19 just got named best playability racket of the year by Tennis Magazine. And that racket gives you a little bit more control. It's a hybrid frame, so it's not completely rounded like an airplane wing, but partly square and partly elliptical. And that gives you a little more control, and that racket's done quite well for us. So if you were looking for even a little less response, a little more control, you go into the Pure Strike line.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely like the Pure Strike line. It was definitely great. I guess we'll get into that in the demo part. But which one does Team use? Which model of the Strike does he use?
He uses the Pure Strike Team 18 by 20.
Gotcha.
So the 16 by 19 has been the bigger seller in the U.S., and typically that it is, right? Typically that's the case for the U.S. In Europe, they tend to prefer a tighter pattern for control in the clay. And because clay tends to wear your strings a little faster, it helps with durability of strings.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Good to know. Awesome stuff, Alan. And so I guess now I'm definitely excited to talk about my experiences with, you know, the different rackets that you've graciously sent me to try out. So first, obviously, you know, I mentioned the Pure Arrow VS, but could you talk a little bit about the specs again, just for a refresher?
So the Pure Arrow VS is a 98-square-inch racket. And really, for all purposes for us in our line, it's yellow and black, but it could be white in our more controlled pillar because it's really more on the control side. This is a racket developed for higher-level players like yourself with a good swing speed. It has a unique feel for Bomblock because it has a firm throat and a soft head. So you really feel the flex of the racket as you hit it. The racket comes in a 10-4 regular weight Pure Arrow VS and a tour weight 11-3. And it's in, you know, like we talked about before, it's a 16 by 20 pattern. Jack Sock is really the guy who leads the way for that. You saw him, we actually did a Stars and Stripes version of that racket, which he loved. Mm-hmm. He's back in the black and yellow cosmetic now, but he loved that Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, like I said, this is a great racket. And yeah, I mean, pretty much my experience with it, like I said, really great control. I felt like I got a lot of nice power. And obviously, this is well known as a spin-friendly racket. So that was great. And I also really enjoyed its thinner beam over the, I guess, you know, thicker beam of the predecessor, or its predecessor, rather. And so because of that, it felt a lot more maneuverable. And you know, not quite as, I guess, clunky as other rackets that, you know, are, have thicker beams. And also we'll talk about strings a little later as well, but, I paired it, with the, RPM Blast Rough, which is a very new string. And that just, I mean, that pairing was just, is just really amazing. You know, I even hit with it today as well. And, great feel for me. Definitely like it. More than the previous iteration, just because of the, again, the control and feel, and I just yeah, it's a great racket. So, have you hit with it? Or tried it out, Alan?
Yeah, it's a wonderful racket. You know, I'm an older guy, so I need a little more power. So I'm in the Pure Arrow line, mm-hmm. but it hits well, and really, it's a pro developed racket. And stringing is a real important choice. I mean, just like, you know, Bob Lutz refined its string over time and refined the rackets. But to your point, string pairing is critical. It's 70% of the performance of your racket. It's really the engine to your car, to your racket performance. So your consideration there and how you string and how frequently you string is really critical.
Yeah, for sure. So it's good. So actually, well, I guess I'll save this question for the string portion. But yeah, so, and then another racket that I tried out was the Pure Strike 100. So do you mind giving the specs on that?
So Pure Strike 100, if you were looking at the Bob online, Pure Drive, Pure Arrow, and Pure Strike 100 are all 100 branches. They're all 16 by 19, and they're all 10.6 ounces. If I wanted the most responsive mid-power racket, pure power racket, I go to Pure Drive. If I wanted a little softer response, a little more spin, I go to Pure Arrow. If I wanted even a little bit more control, I go to the Pure Strike. In Bob Lutz thinking, you know, someone who's looking for a lot of response, you know, usually standing near the baseline is in the Pure Drive. Someone who's standing a little further back and taking bigger swings, Pure Arrow. The Pure Strike was really developed for what's happening in today's game, which has gotten faster, but the guys are taking full swings and they're taking the ball earlier, like on the rise, sometimes inside the court hitting ground strokes. You see that with today's game, which is so fast. These guys are taking the ball sooner, and it's been an interesting transition. They're going more to these hybrid rackets. You know, the Blade would be in this category. This is the Pure Strike. The difference in the Pure Strike versus a lot of those other more controlled rackets, it has the big sweet spot of a Bob Lot, and it's still a little bit more responsive, still a little more powerful.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely a good racket. I tried that one as well. Good power, pretty maneuverable, but definitely more of a traditional player's racket than the Arrow. You know, just when thinking of like other classic rackets, I guess. I found it to have a little less control than the Pure Strike 98, of course, because obviously the smaller or the bigger head on that one. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, very good racket. So I really enjoyed that. And so for the Pure Strike 98, are the specs pretty much the same except for the head size? Is there anything else different, like maybe the weight or anything?
The weight's different. So, you know, as you mentioned, if you go to a smaller head, you're going to get more maneuverability, more control, but you're trading off power and margin for error. So the 98 is going to give you a little more maneuverability and control. It's 10.8 ounces versus 10.6 because, you know, while it's looking for a certain ease of swing, if it's smaller head, you can make it a little heavier and you're not losing maneuverability. It's balancing that maneuverability and control aspect. If I make the racket too heavy, I get a lot of power, but I lose maneuverability. It's finding that right balance.
Gotcha. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I mean, the 98, well, I gave you the summary of the 100 for the Pure Strike. The 98, that was probably my more, was my favorite racket in the Pure Strike line as of now. I've really found a lot of great control with that, you know, very maneuverable, traditional feel. And it, you know, it felt more accurate to me than the 100. And like Alan said, the trade-off was that when I played with the 100, I felt like I definitely didn't have to give as much, I guess, effort per se. But when I had the 98, I love the control, but I felt like I really had to be a little more, technically sound, with that one. But yeah, I definitely liked that a lot. And I was super close to switching to that, but then I tried the Pure Arrow VS, and then I think just the VS is, you know, more my cup of tea overall, slightly. And then the Pure Strike Team, Alan, is that I guess probably lighter than both of the previous Pure Strikes you mentioned, right?
So the Pure Strike Team is 100 square inches, so the Pure Strike one, you get the Pure Strike VS in two weights at a 98. That's our most controlled. A little more powerful, we have the Pure Strike 16 by 19 or 18 by 20, and those are differences in string pattern, both 98s at 10.8 ounces. The Pure Strike 100 is 10.6, and the lighter version of the Pure Strike 100 is the Pure Strike Team at 10.1. And that's the whole idea is that, let's say, you just want something lighter. So a little more maneuverability. You're okay with giving up a little power. There you go. I can't really mention the name, but we were trying to sign a pro player. So I get a call from our guy who works with a pro player. He said, look, you give me a string machine. We're going to try to sign this guy. They fly a guy out literally from France to sign this guy. He was trying the previous line of Pure Strikes. They had to take the rate down for his racket to 10-2. I can't tell you the guy's name, but he's a huge hitter. So he liked a hybrid racket, a strike, and a lighter weight. So things have really changed. You know, back in the 80s, which is my high school days, I'm giving you my age up a little bit. You know, it was all about weight. You know, Pete Sampras on your Agassi, 14-ounce racket. I think Agassi was at 13.9 in an oversized racket, a 110 racket. And I think because of the speed of the game and the racket's effect, the rackets are more responsive. People are going to lighter rackets, bigger heads. But back in the day, it was all about weight. Now, it's all about you finding the right weight for you. And it doesn't necessarily, heavy weight doesn't necessarily mean you're a better player. It's just finding that right balance for you and your swing.
Right, right, exactly. And I agree with that totally. And so, yeah, I mean, those are the rackets I tried. One thing I want to ask you too, I guess kind of like a hypothetical case, and I know you gave us some awesome advice on how to choose a racket, but let's say we have an audience member who's like a 4.0 player, and you know they like getting their demos, you know, maybe online or something like that. So for somebody who's like a 4.0 adult player, you know, what rackets would you recommend that person try out?
I really like the team line, the team weight. Mm-hmm. So the team Pure Drive and the team Pure Arrow are really for pure power or power spin. I like those. I do like the strike also. You just find what works best for your swing. So I like those rackets a lot. If you're playing more doubles and with a little punchier swing, you know, I like the Pure Drive 107. And then you want to try the regular Pure Drive and Pure Arrow and then work those around. It's really an amazing thing because Boblot has 6 of the top 10 selling rackets. And if you take 8 of the Boblot's top selling rackets, it's over 32% of the market. It's been an amazing run. Right. In that line are the lighter rackets like a Pure Drive team and like a Pure Arrow team. They're part of it.
Awesome stuff. I mean, we already learned, you know, close to your age, but what racket do you use?
I use the Pure Arrow Plus.
Wow, nice.
So Plus stands for a half inch longer. So when you add length to a racket, you get more power, especially on serves, but also ground strokes, but you lose some maneuverability. So Pure Arrow Plus users would be like Joe Wilfried Tsonga, Sam Querrey. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's quite a good bit player. Vanya King out of Long Beach. Bouchard has been in the Pure Drive Plus. She just went back to the Pure Arrow Plus and the Pink Cosmetic. So Pure Arrow, you know, I've been tracking Plus users, and it really has risen quite a lot. It wasn't very much 8 years ago. Now it's maybe 40% on the women's side, where it's almost zero before. It's almost half and half on the men's side.
Gotcha. And obviously, you know, like rackets like the Pure Drive has had a fairly long lineage, but I mean, what would you say are some of the changes, like substantial changes that have happened in the Pure Drive line from its inception till now?
Well, I think the challenge always is the challenge with an elliptical racket. So an elliptical racket basically is shaped like an airplane wing. So an airplane wing is not only light, it's strong, and it cuts the air better. So if you look at the shape of a Pure Drive, it's kind of a rounded airplane shape. The Pure Arrow is created even for more spin. So it has an airplane shape, but it's almost like a blade. So that will cut the air even faster. So that elliptical beam creates great power and maneuverability, but it doesn't flex, and it's not as soft a feeling feel as like a box frame. Any rectangular frame is going to flex more. So what you need to do with an elliptical racket is work on dampening, trying to give better feel part of it's reducing the low vibration frequencies that you get when you hit with these rackets. That's where dampeners themselves have become popular to reduce the string sound, but also the frame sound. Mm-hmm. So we've been working a lot with Cortex in the handle of the racket to help the feel. So that's evolved as we go. You're going to find a new Cortex agent in the new Pure Drive, which is a little caveat for you. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a new Pure Drive, not the whole line, but there'll be a new Pure Drive that will come out for US Open. Sweet. It will be in a similar cosmetic, but it's a beautifully, beautiful looking racket in a kind of a racing blue. It's very beautiful. And I hit with it, and not only was reducing vibration to my feel, but actually vibration to my arm. So it was not only a more powerful racket, but a more comfortable racket, giving me great power in spin. What's also happened really with all the Bala rackets, one of the reasons why the Pure Drive was so popular to start with is that 16 by 19 pattern, which we're very comfortable with now, was really kind of revolutionary because all the other patterns were denser. What we learned was we had a connected racket called the Play Rack. We still have it. That would give you feedback that could tell you, because of the gyroscope and the sensors in the battery and the handle and the motherboard, what was going on with how many forehands and backhands you hit, not only your swing speed, but where you were hitting. And what we learned is for people hitting topspin shots, forehand, backhand, and serves, that they actually hit slightly above center. So we raised the sweet spot up on all our rackets, which the sweet spot's already big on a bomb line. It's the biggest in the industry. This is now a little bit higher, so your sweetest spot's a little bit higher. So that sweet spot was raised higher, and the pattern was built around making it even more comfortable.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that you guys are, constantly testing and finding out what needs to be adjusted and things like that. So that's fantastic. And so, with strings, definitely, actually, I want to ask you one more question about frames before we switch to strings, which is, how long do frames normally last before they decline in performance? Because, I mean, I have, I might give them away, but one of my best buddies, he has had the Pure Control, I think, for like 12 or 15 years. It's really insane. And he's a good player, but he's still playing with them. And so I was just wondering if there's like a normal or general age by which these frames like start to like decline, where we need to definitely switch rackets.
Well, I think you need to have a heart-to-heart with them, maybe over coffee, that it's time to let go. It's going to be hard. You're going to cry a little bit. But it's tough. It's funny. It's funny because, sportually, unfortunately, they're in a business, but I would go to some clinics with their sportually people, and they really work to educate their people. They weren't really tennis players. And what I would tell them is this, tennis is like no other sport. And I'm going to tangent here, but fortunately, you're giving me a lot of time. My daughter played basketball when she was young, and she was terrible, but her team would still win because the rest of the team was good. In tennis, if you're terrible, you lose, and there's nowhere to hide. It's very personal. Tennis, I love tennis because it's so one-on-one and combative in that sense. You're in control. You're always in the action. I love that aspect. But what also means is when people come to talk to you about their rackets and when people make racket choices, that's your weapon of choice. It's a very personal choice, and that's why it's hard for your friend to let go, because this has been his sword, his weapon of choice for these 12 years. Mm-hmm. So forgive me for that long tangent, but that's one understanding of why it's hard for him to let go. So coming back to that, actually the surprising thing is the hardest thing you do to a racket is not play with it. Mm-hmm. It's to string it. There's an uneven amount of pressure on your frame. So you want to look at number of string jobs before you restring. Obviously, the racket he's chosen, he's probably restrung it a lot, and it's a softer frame because the Pure Control is now the Pure Strike DS. It's a box frame, softer frame. So it is time for him to go. Bobon actually developed a machine called a Racket Diagnostic Center, RDC machine, that actually measures the flex of a racket. So if you have someone who could show him the current flex of this racket, it would be a little bit, it might help him to see, wow, this racket's really softened up a lot. So the RA measurement that you get on a racket, which measures the stiffness at a throat, it comes from that machine in its development. So think about number of string jobs.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And what was the name of that machine again?
It's the Racket Diagnostic Center. They call them RDC machines.
Got it.
Right. So they will actually even measure the string bed deflection, your swing weight, where the balance is. It really was a tool to sell new rackets. People now use them to customize rackets.
Nice. And so basically my friend, he would just go to the center and then try out the have the test and then just compare it with what the original specs were, and then that's how he would find out how it's changed.
Well, and that's the thing. The great thing, what I liked about the European perspective is I'm not trying to sell you a mass market. Hey, you have to use this string because it's the latest, greatest. The whole point is to educate you so you can decide what works best for you to customize it. So he can go in there and kind of measure and really see, and really, part of the deal is he can say, okay, I like the racket in this spec range. What's in that spec range? Mm-hmm. So initially for some of your people out there who are figuring out what they want, once you kind of narrow it down, then it's going to be easier for you to find what you like because you have a better feel for it. Same thing when you're figuring out stringing. You know, I have to, burn or cut out a string job that didn't quite work for you because it wasn't best for you. But once you figure it out, now you're getting the best performance.
Excellent stuff. And so, yeah, Alan, I mean, now I just want to talk about strings with you for a bit. The RPM Blast Rough, like I mentioned, thanks for sending me some of those. And I mean, this string is fantastic. I mean, I've previously been using Vocal Cyclone, which is, a great value string. But the RPM Blast Rough, it definitely enhanced the spin, in my opinion. I mean, it's, as the name is rough, that's generally associated with more spin. So the spin was great and the control as well. And, amazingly, I mean, honestly, I don't know if this is like a byproduct of the racket as well as the string, but it held, amazing tension. I mean, I was super busy, a couple of months ago with, hosting the world's first Tennis Technique Summit. And then I didn't play, that much, maybe like once a week or something, twice a week. And so, I didn't restring it for a couple months, but, it felt great still. I mean, in previous strings and my previous racket, it would get loose after a little while. But I mean, it just played really well unexpectedly, after being in the string bed for a while. So, great control, and it just goes great with the racket. Do you have any other, I guess, if you could tell us some other insight about that string, that would be awesome.
Well, let's set a context for it first. I mean, I think polyester strings, originally started out, as a control story, really gave control and spin, Queratin kind of made them popular, and then Agassi along with that. In RPM itself, the precursor to RPM Rough came out in black. And you had Nadal and Schiavone both win the French Open using that string. And it really kind of exploded. RPM currently is the number one selling string on the market, which is surprising because it's really only four gauges versus another string which come in four gauges in, six different colors. But it's done quite well. because of the control that you and spin that you get with polyester. You know, the tricky thing about any polyester is that, you know, tension maintenance on polyester, to your point, is not typically very good. You shift about 20 hours, you've lost half your tension. Mm-hmm. A multifilament, which is a gut-like playing product, 15 to 25%, guts about 5 to 10% after 20 hours. So the goal with that RPM is eight-sided, but it's not rough, but the sides are rounded to create more slipping. So the tricky thing, when people think about rough, they think the texture of the string creates spin, and that's not really the case. So it's not how rough the surface is, but how well it slips. So RPM's eight-sided, has a silicone coating, it slips better. Rough is just like RPM, same material, but it's also textured. It actually has, and interesting enough, it has the Bobolat logo in it, and that texture helps it to slip better. And it's also softer. We have an RPM team, which is injected with air, which is about 15% softer than RPM. The RPM rough is even softer than that. So it creates better spin, and it's softer, which I think, to your point, is exactly what the market is asking for now. And besides that, it comes in cool colors. So it comes in black, which looks cool, but it comes in a floral yellow, which matches the Pure Arrow, or floral red, which matches the Pure Strike line. They're just cool colors, besides the fact that they play well.
Yeah, definitely an amazing string. Just kind of maybe a weird question, but you mentioned the cool colors, and I tried the yellow of the string and then pink. I have heard from a couple people that, you know, that pink is actually the softest color for the string, and then softest as far as like feel, and then yellow is in the middle, and then black is the least soft, I guess, from one of my friends. So what, I mean, is there any truth to that, or are they just all the same no matter what the color is?
You know, I don't know specifically the RPM rough, so I can't comment accurately on that, but in the past, sometimes when you colored strings, they did play differently. So, you know, potentially that's true. I'd have to find out more. But in the past with polys, and when they colored them versus a non-colored, you'd see a difference in playability. Typically, you know, the darker color would be stiffer. I haven't heard that so much in RPM rough, but I'm not sure. It's really been an amazing run for us because, as you know, there's a ton of strings on the market, and there's some very aggressive competitors out there at lower price points. But Bobolat really, you know, we make our own string. So guts made, you know, in the southern part of France, near actually where the cows are that they take it from. It takes about an intestine and a half of a cow to make one set of gut, and it takes a month to make the guts. And we have different grades of it. Addiction XL, which are multifilaments, are made in Lyon in our factory. Most good polyesters are made in Germany, so they've got machines that we in Germany that we make our RPM and rough on and thin it. I think rough's made in Germany. It might be elsewhere, but I think it's Germany. And then it comes to France to be finished. So it's all about watching that process and making sure it's right, so you get the right quality.
Awesome. And so just, you know, I know I'm asking another color question, but any idea why it might differ? Like if it does, like, I mean, is this just like the paint or something, or is that, I mean, do you know anything about that?
There's different pigments that go into it. Yeah. I mean, there's different to color it. So that's more of a challenge there, but I'm not as sure exactly why. So I can't comment on that accurately.
Sure. Yeah. No, no worries. Good stuff. The second string that I tried, it was a hybrid package, which is awesome, which is the RPM Blast, and I think VS Touch, I believe. But
correct.
Yeah, can you kind of describe, you know, the just both those strings and the hybrid option?
So a polyester is going to give you spin and control, but not tension maintenance, and it's going to be a little harder on your arm. That's why it's always a big concern for your players who decide to go all polyester, that they really be careful on the effect on their arm, because it is a stiffer surface. They are making, you know, RPMs a cool poly, so they're putting on the materials to make it softer, but it's still a stiffer material. Gut is a very powerful, flexible, and well It has great tension maintenance. So when you pair those together, when you create a hybrid, you kind of get the best of both worlds. Kind of like if you like candy, Reese's peanut butter cup. If you like chocolate and peanut butter, they're both together. Sorry to go there, your audience. You might not know.
I'm allergic to peanuts, but it's fine.
I'm sorry to hear that. You're missing out a lot. But anyway, the point being is that in when you use a hybrid, whatever you put in the main string, that's the vertical string, that's going to be the most effective, most responsive element. So that element would be, you put RPM in the main, you're going to get better spin and control, but the gut will help you with power and tension maintenance. If you put the gut in the main, you'll get more power, not as much spin and control, but better durability than you would normally get with gut. So that's your trade-off. The interesting thing is, I had a dealer of mine go and string at the Australian Open for 2 weeks. That's a long run, by the way. And he was saying that a lot of the pros were hybriding because they liked that combination. And this is important for your audience to understand. They're not doing that combination because they're going to keep that string job for a while. Those string jobs, really 20, 30 minutes, they're done after that. But they're doing it for the playability aspect. Other players, like a Rafa Nadal, prefer all polyester for the control aspect and because of his high spin rate. You know, a player like Jack Sock uses all poly, but strings it quite loose. He's around 37 right now in his racket for, you know, getting some of that power back and also for ease on his arm. So it's all finding that right blend for you. If you're not a fast swinger, you don't create a lot of spin, you don't really need the control aspect of the polyester. Go to a multi-filament, or if you can afford it, go to gut because you're going to get the best playability over the lifetime of your string job. So it's all about finding that right blend, and that's where it's got polyester, and you got multi-filaments in gut, and then you got hybrid, which is right in between. That's one of the reasons why when we first started talking about rackets, I really wanted you to try different strings because it makes such a difference in how the rackets play. And understand, it's important that we understand product, but it's important that at the end of the day, you get a lot of enjoyment about how that racket plays. So how it swings, how the stringing is, all that is designed around you getting the right performance. So you're really enjoying your time playing tennis, which is an awesome sport.
Oh, yeah, it's best in the world, in my opinion. thanks.
I agree.
Yeah, me too. And thanks so much for that insight. I guess, interesting thing for me was previous to the Aero Pro in 2012, I played with a Yonex, and I actually preferred a hybrid situation. So that's what I did. And then when I switched to the Aero Pro and I did the same hybrid setup, I didn't have enough control with the AeroPro, so I went to full hybrid, and then that was a lot better for me. And so same thing with the Pure Aero, I favored the RPM Blast Rough full bed over anything else, just with that. But
part of that is the Pure Aero in general, bobble rackets tend to be a little bit more powerful, more responsive. And so when you put a polyester in that, it's going to be, give it a little more control. And really polyester changed the game because of the added control. You had hard swingers like an Agassi, and even like Pete Sampras now using RPM at 66 pounds in a pure control. They have to tube the rack. It's amazing. It gives these fast swingers so much more control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why you like it. And this racket, I don't know which Yonex model you were in, that might have been have a little more feel and control, but not as much power as the Pure. That's my guess, but I don't know the model.
Yeah, super spot on. It's a RDS 001, which is also yellow and mainly yellow and some black, and Nell Bandon used that back in the day. And yes, it was definitely, and if you can believe it, I use a 90 square inch, so that's definitely smaller than I guess most people, but very control oriented. So I did need that a bit more feel and power with the gut in there, which has changed obviously with the pure Aero. And yeah, so with the RPM Blast and VS Touch, I favored that one more in the Pure Strike, really, you know, I liked it. You know, for me, it had more. I think it had more power for me. I still had good control. Pretty good spin, not as much as with the RPM. Blast Rough, of course, had a bit of a softer feel than the RPM Blast Rough. But overall, you know, very good. And I think, like Alan said, if you want some more power in the mix of both Best of Both Worlds, definitely try that string out, because that's a great one. And also for the setup for both those strings, I strung it at 52 pounds electric. So, yeah, that was that. And so what are some other strings that we might not have mentioned that are pretty popular in Babolat's line?
Let's talk about two things. You mentioned electric machines.
Right.
So Babolat traveled with the Pro Tour in the 1980s, basically, I think, till about 2000. They traveled for about 20 years with the Pro Tour, and that's part of where they developed, you know, an intimate knowledge of rackets and in, you know, weight balance and how to lay up brackets and all that. But they were also the first ones to develop an electric machine. So for your customer, electric machines, Babolat was the first one to create this electric machine, give you a more accurate tension and they elongate the string better. So a crank machine is when you crank it and it's not plugged in, there's no electricity, they string about 10% lower. And you're talking about how hard it is, how hard stringing is on a racket. Typically, the mounting system on the electric machines are 10 points. In other words, it holds it on more places on the head, so there's less fatigue to the head when you string on an electric machine. So it's a better string job, more accurate, holds tension better, and it's easier on your racket. So if you can go to someone who uses an electric stringer, you're going to get a better string job. It's not as popular in the U.S. to have electric stringers just because they are more expensive. So that's where you see less of them here, whereas in Europe, you'd see mostly electrical stringers. So that's one aspect. Other strings to consider are strings like Babolat's Excel string, which we make in Lyon. It's a multifilament, which means gut is made up of about 1,000 strands. There's more than that, but basically it's strands of material, and those material, as it breaks, it frays, but it holds tension well, and you kind of know. So a multi-filament is made like gut with different types of gluing agents that can make it softer or stiffer. Excel is really made for a player who's looking for good tension maintenance, good feel, but a little crisper feel. So the gluing agents, the PUs and PAs for that are different. Then another string we have called Addiction. Addiction is softer and will be a more comfortable power story. So if you had an arm issue or you just want a little bit more response, typically for a slower swing, you're going to like Addiction. Excel is typically for a 4 or above player who has a faster swing, is going to notice tension loss more quickly. And of course, gut's the top of the line, that would be the best of all worlds right there. But those are definitely strings to consider. You know, I really appreciate you mentioning RPM Rough, which has been a big hit for us despite this, you know, crowded market in strings.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I mean, just a fantastic lineup of choices, so many. But it's very helpful for you to kind of talk about all of them, so to help the audience pick the best ones. One other thing about you mentioned the tension, pressure on the racket and the 10-point mounting system and things like that. Say if we're stringing on a crank machine, I'm curious, how can we reduce tension? Pressure on the racket, like, for example, when stringing the mains, is it better to string, you know, two grommets on one side and then two on the other versus like stringing the one side and the other? Or like what are some tips to kind of reduce the pressure on the racket?
Well, yeah, you don't want to go more than three, but if you can do one to two a side, it's better because it keeps the pressure more even. And, you know, if you go to the United States Racket Association and look at their guidelines, they definitely prefer that. Same thing with that if the mains tie off at the bottom, to string it as a two-piece, so you're starting at the top of the racket down versus the bottom up, because the tip is, you know, going to be the softest part of the racket. So they would recommend a two-piece on rackets that tie off at the bottom. So both those are big concerns. I mean, the stringer and your stringing surface is so important that you get accurate advice and from people that know you. Vavla really is concerned about the Tennis Pro Shop and being there. We've got great support on the internet. We appreciate those dealers and the information they provide and services they provide. But you want to be involved in a Tennis Pro if you can, who can help you evaluate, but also with a good pro shop and stringing service that can give you accurate information and help you refine the process as you, you know, are figuring out the string and string tension you want. Going to string tension for your audience, the higher I string, the more control I get. The lower I string, the more power I get. What you're seeing is lower tensions on the Pro Tour because they're using a very stiff material, polyester strings. So you can string that lower and not lose as much control because the string is already a control string. So that's what you're seeing. There are a few anomalies, the guys who string super high like a Kyrgios because he hits the ball so super hard. So he's an anomaly because he's just such an incredible athlete. But typically that's the trade-off. You're finding the right string tension and the right string materials to use on your racket.
Right, yeah, great point. And, you know, great compliment episode to what Alan is talking about on the Tennis Files podcast is episode 18 with Tim Strawn, who's a master racket technician. Yeah, that's a great one for a lot of other tips on stringing and things like that, and strings as well. And as Alan said as well, you know, if you see a sign that says USRSA certified or whatnot, that's the United States Racket Stringers Association. So it's always good if you see, you know, go to a pro shop and somebody is certified, then they really, you know their stuff, obviously, if they're a part of that organization. So that's great. And it's a similar kind of hypothetical for you, and this might be, you know, maybe it's the answer is it depends. I don't know. But what string would you recommend, let's say, a 4.0 adult player use? And how might this recommendation vary with other parameters like age or type of player, et cetera?
Well, it really depends on style of play. You know, I would put that some. I mean, I can be a 4.0 player and win with finesse and control. Be a retriever. So I'm not really swinging fast, but I'm controlling the ball well. You're probably better off on a string that produces more power and feel, like a multi-filament Excel or Gut, or potentially a hybrid with the Gut or multi-filament in the main. If I'm a 4.0 player and I'm swinging really fast and I'm trying to create a lot of spin and I want more control, I would recommend a co-poly like an RPM or an RPM Rough at a little lower tension for better control and ease on the arm. If that was a little not responsive enough, you could go to a hybrid with the polyester on the main and the Gut or multifilament on the cross string.
Gotcha. Great stuff, Alan. And also, I mean, obviously there's also different gauges, which I guess we haven't talked too much about today, if at all. But, you know, there's, I guess there's a 15L, 16, 17, 18 gauge. I mean, how should we be figuring out how to choose between those gauges and what do they even mean?
Well, let's start out with how incredibly confusing gauges are. Okay, so the gauges are, it's a plumber's measurement. So there's a diameter that the string can fit into. So the higher the number, the thinner the string. You would think the opposite, right? But that's why 18 is the thinnest gauge. There are even some 19 polys. We don't make any, but there's some RPM doesn't come in 18, does come in 18. But typically, the thinner gauge will give you it's a little less material. It's a little softer. It will give you a little more spin if it's a poly, a little more feel if it's a multi-filament or a Gut. So if I don't break strings a lot, I can go to a thinner gauge and get better feel and potentially spin if it's a polyester. If I break strings a lot, I go to a thicker gauge for durability, but I'll sacrifice some feel and some spin, you know, but I do gain a little more control. So Rafa Nadal used a 15-gauge string, 15 RPM.
Man.
Who would I recommend that for? Not many people. But he hits, you know, 5,000 RPM on his forehand. There's only a few guys like that. So, you know, when you go up in gauge, when you go to 18, you get more feel and control. When you go to 15, you get more durability, more control, but less feel, less power.
Excellent stuff, Alan. And so, I mean, gosh, with Rafa using the 15, is that, do you think that's just because he's afraid of breaking the string, or do you think he actually prefers, okay, I was wondering if he actually might prefer the feel somehow of the 15, but I mean, that's less feel.
It might be the feel. He might get a little more control from that too. There's probably a control aspect of that also, but I mean, he's amazing. I mean, polyester in general, someone using an all polyester, they're really made for someone who breaks strings in 8 hours, which is incredible in its own right. But a guy like Nadal can break strings 15, 20 minutes. You know, part of the reason what you're going to see when you're watching the pros on the tour is they tend to change strings with the ball change. Because even after that 20, 30 minutes, there's been some tension loss and potentially the risk of breaking a string. They don't want to lose at one point because their string broke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. What's one thing about strings that players get wrong the most when they're trying to choose one or even, you know, use one?
I think that rough crates spin. So you have a lot of manufacturers come out with rough string or strings that have an edge to them. You know, that there's no proof. There's no scientific proof that that makes a difference. It's really the slippage of the string. Now, if it's eight-sided like our RPM, it can slip better. That having a slicker coating can help that. But it's really about the string material and the coating used to a certain extent, the shape. But a pointed shape won't move more. It's not going to slip the same. You know, polyester slips longer with the bowl, and that's why you can create more spin. And it's stiffer. That's where it gives you more control.
Gotcha. So this might be a kind of a weird question. It's a racket one. If you had to just choose one racket to represent the Babolat brand, which one would you choose?
Well, it's funny. It's funny you ask that because Babolat's kind of unique in a couple ways. They're innovators and they really develop their own product. And they're really a product manufacturer versus some like corporate marketing agent. It's really about the product for them. They're very passionate about that. And Eric Babolat, who's the fifth generation founder, very passionate. I mean, he sent me personally all over the world with the U.S. staff to France, and I've been to the Morocco, you know, place that St. Ravina's trains and all this because he likes to share his passion for the game. Now, the funny thing about it is, you know, we'll make a Pure Driver, Pure Arrow for 3 years, and once it's done, we don't remake that racket. So they're always about what's next and what the innovation is. Therefore, RPM's the number one selling string. We still came out with an RPM rough because we're seeing, we're as an innovator, we're trying to see what's next in tennis and how can we be there. That's why we've made connected rackets and connected product, because we think eventually people are going to want to know exactly what their data is and exactly what they're doing in a seamless, integrated way, because we're kind of in that data age, aren't we, right? I've got a watch that tells me my heartbeats, how many steps I took, what my sleep was. And I don't have to do anything about that. It just tells me on its own. And eventually there's going to be rackets like that, and Babolat's going to be at the forefront. Now, in terms of favorite racket, it's kind of tough because Pure Drive is the heritage racket. It all started with that racket. Pure Arrow is really kind of, you know, the spin, kind of modern-looking racket, even though Pure Drive would be in that. And really the new Pure Strike is really the new trend in hybrid rackets. That's an all-white racket. When did you ever think an all-white racket would be this popular? Seriously, a white racket. The funny thing about that, I'm going to take a tangent, but you're used to me by now. You know, team was using that racket as a prototype, and most prototypes are black. We did it in white, and it was supposed to come out in its previous color, which was like a black and fluoro red, kind of a gray, cool-looking racket. In fact, our bag line, we only have one white bag because we weren't ready for this. The public demand for a white rack was so extreme that we had to change the cosmetic on the rack and make it white. It was really supposed to be those colors. That's one of the reasons why it's hard to find 16 by 19s, because we had some that we had made that we couldn't sell anymore because people wanted white. And so listening to our customers, we started making white rackets.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely kind of gradually really liked the paint job on that one, and yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, college I went to UMBC, they're yellow and black though, so that makes me like the Pure Aero LUT itself. you know, so I'm locked in. But yeah, I mean, I'm just browsing on Balbat's site, and I saw this solar bag. Have you heard of this solar bag thing they're coming out with?
The solar bag is awesome. So
yeah, it's
a solar
ridiculous.
Bag, we haven't brought it into the States yet because it's so expensive to get the licensee for it. So there's a lot more that goes into that product. So we have it. It's in our catalog, right? It's in our catalog we give to dealers. But we haven't been able to get all the approvals for that bag yet. So you'll see it in Europe. It's not here yet. And it kind of connects to our connected product like the Play Racket and that you can wear on your wrist where they need to be recharged. So it was kind of to go with that, obviously recharge your phone too. So we're working on it. We just haven't got all the approvals for the U.S.
Damn, yeah, it looks pretty cool with that. I mean, I guess you can charge stuff with the solar panel, and that's kind of pretty crazy. And then you mentioned the wearables a little bit, but what's, you know, what choices do we have for the wearables with Babolat?
We've got something called the Babolat Pop. The Pop device is a unique device because it weighs only 19 grams. So the device itself and the strap that you wear on your wrist can work with any racket. And they will record on its own. All you have to do is turn the device on, your forehands, backhands, power, spin, and fluidity of motion. You get a peak score for each one of your swings. And will also develop how many volleys you've hit and your serve and serve speed. It will give you an overall average and your high speed for all the shots. And it records this by day, date, and time. With this device, you can compete within your group of friends or within the overall pop or play community. And you can send out challenges for specific shots or specific times that you've had. The app itself is available for free for Android phones and iPhones. So you can get that for free if you want to look and see what it does. You can also get at-once results. You can go in the challenge mode and go under serves and do a challenge. And on your phone, you can do serve practice and see per shot how your serve's doing, or forehands or backhands or volleys, whatever it might be. You can get immediate results for how you're doing and see it on your phone, which I think is a pretty cool aspect.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Appreciate you letting us know about that too. Definitely for those who want to, you know, dive deep into their game and stuff, that is always useful. You know, I always recommend to the audience to do things like videotape themselves playing. And so this is just another way to kind of, you know, analyze your game and try to improve based on what's going on. So that's fantastic. And I also wanted to ask you, Alan, about the new app from Babolat. It looks pretty cool. I actually just downloaded it myself. But, I mean, just wanted you to give maybe just a brief, like, overview of, well, I guess, first off, what is the name of the app?
It's called the Babolat app, just Babolat app.
Nice, nice. And then so
Babolat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, sorry about interrupting you. And then, so what's the, I guess, the main like purpose or functionality of the app?
Well, it's really a way to bring the tennis community together, you know, and for us to share our passion for tennis, and that really always has been the goal of Babolat. I mean, Eric Babolat has been very great about helping some people like me, really all over the world. I was in China, as we talked about. To see how rackets and shoes were made. I went to France to see how the string was made. And he's very passionate about his brand and just about tennis in general. And they want to share that. This app helps people to share that. Where, you know, there's really five things you can do on the app. You know, one is you can record your tennis data. So keep track of your matches, your training, things like that. You know, there's also a place that's kind of like a Facebook where you can post, you know, feedback, you know, you can see how people are doing. So that was a very interesting part of that. You know, you're the digital club where you're sharing, you know, there's going to be exclusive privileges where people can find out more about Babolat and the product they develop and what they do behind the scenes at tournaments. is more of a newsroom where you can pick out certain pros you want to follow on the tour, and you'll get information on how they're doing. The fifth part you really won't get into unless you have a connected device like a racket or a pop. You can, you know, see more accurately how you're doing in terms of how many forehands and backhands you're hitting, the racket speed, the spin, you know, how often you're playing and when. Record all that by day, date, and time. So you can get connected with it, but it's also kind of like a way for the tennis community to connect and to share their passion about tennis.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. Like I said, I downloaded it, and I saw there were some videos posted, I think mostly of Rafa, and also some, I think there was like an exclusive tour or something like that, and I saw Team on there. And there's like a place that you can, you know, put in your records and stuff, and you can get points. So it definitely seems pretty cool and a lot of fun. And I mean, I was talking to Eva briefly, who's a, you know, great person with Bob Lott and a marketing rep, I believe. And so she mentioned that, you know, it's a great tool because sometimes if you're, you know, you're on Facebook, you know, not all your friends are tennis fans. So when you go on this app, all of a sudden you're just connected with all tennis people. So that's definitely a great advantage of this app. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a great job in marketing for Bobby Lott. And it really is a way to really share that passion, you know, whereas other people might not understand as well, but to share that passion and show that passion about how you're doing and your feed and to get information about the players, kind of like your own news feed for yourself. You can personalize it.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, and I definitely think people should, you know, check it out. If you're a tennis fan, obviously it has, like, tennis content on there, and that's always just great to be immersed in the game. So where can we get the Bobby Lott app?
It's a free app. You can download it in the iTunes Store or the Google Store if you have an Android. So it's a free app for anyone who wants it. Just a way for Bobby Lott to kind of, it's just kind of a way for Bobby Lott to share their passion for the game. And to me, speaks to Bobby Lott as an innovator in racket sports, because data and understanding your data is really the way of the future, not just for tennis, but all sports. I mean, I have a watch, a Garmin that will tell me how many steps I'm taking, or automatically adjust them according to how active I am. It's, you know, measuring how often I'm in the right heart rate zone. And it does this so intuitively, but that data kind of helps me know how I'm doing each week. And the same thing's really true for tennis. You know, data has become more and more of an issue as these pros on the tour study patterns and figure out their opponents.
Yeah, I'm actually playing around with it on my phone now, and there's even like a calendar where you can add, you know, like I guess like if you played or practiced or trained and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely pretty cool. And also, what type of racket would you? I know you need like a Bobby Lott Play connected racket, but are there like multiple models of that, or is there just one right now?
There's two models. There's the Pure Drive Play, and there's a Pure Aero Play. And there's a Pure Dry, actually three models, and a Pure Dry Light Play. So there's three models you can choose from. You also make a pop device, which you can wear on your wrist, so you can use it with any racket brand. The Play will be more accurate because it has, you know, sensors in the handle of the racket over against just your wrist that will measure also where you're hitting on the racket surface. So you can tell for your forehand or backhand tossing and slice shots where you're hitting on the racket surface, which really helped Bobby Lott design their rackets to another level, because they were finding for Thompson shots and serves, people actually hit a little bit above sweet spot. Flatter shots and slice tend to be more center.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, I mean, tracking data is definitely huge. And I mean, especially when you get on the elite levels, but I mean, even at our levels, it can really help so much. And yeah, I mean, again, like I'm clicking around here, and there's a lot of things you can really add, your details, and definitely looks like a lot of fun, especially if you like to keep track of what you're doing. So definitely appreciate you mentioning, you know, talking about the app, and it looks like you can also access it at app.bobbylott.com. So sweet. Thanks a lot for talking about that one, Alan.
Oh, you got it.
So, Alan, what sources would you recommend to our audience to kind of help them enhance their knowledge of tennis rackets and strings and things like that?
Well, find a quality. Your best source is going to be a quality local pro shop. There's also some great online resources which do their own testing. So you're going to see some great video reviews with the different internet companies. You know, a video review, as any review, is going to have its own biases, but you'll kind of get their feel for it. You know, I would read the bios on the players that are giving the reviews so you kind of know their perspective. USRSA does some general things about the rackets, but locally, find a quality pro shop. Internet-wise, there's some great internet deals that will give you video and, you know, written correspondence on what the rackets do, and they've got some great inline help. And your local tennis pro, I mean, a guy that knows your game and knows you. One of the reasons why Beaumont wants to support not only their internet dealers, but the local pro shop is that's the guy that knows you. That's the guy that's going to string your racket. He's going to learn about your game and get the feedback for you. And typically, that local specialized shop, that person has spent 20 to 30 years knowing and loving tennis. They really are concerned about you finding what you like best. And that's really important to Beaumont as a premium brand and really as an innovator of product. So we want to make sure our customers are giving the best service and getting the best pleasure out of their tennis experience.
Definitely, yeah. No, definitely never hurts to seek out the advice and help of qualified experts. So that's awesome. So one question I love to ask all my guests is what's one piece of advice that you can give our audience on how they can improve our tennis games? And, you know, this can optionally be racket or string related, so really up to you.
One piece of advice. I have to limit it to one?
You don't have to. You can give a couple if you like.
I would get a team of experts to help you. You're part of that equation, obviously, with what you give and the information you give to help people with equipment and strength. That's critical. You know, that's your race car. You know, get the right racket, get the right engine, which is your string, and really get the right tires, which is your grip. You know, as a tennis pro, when I was teaching, people would come up and their grips would be all torn up. It would drive me crazy. I would literally just change their grip right there, because if you can't grip the racket, you're going to lose control. So make sure your racket stays in perfect shape. So once you've strung it, don't string it and forget it. You know, as many times as you play in a week, restring your racket. So be aware of your racket, be aware of your string, be aware of your grip. Secondly, footwear. When you start to wear the tread out on the shoe, replace your shoes, please. Because if you worn out the tread, you probably wore out the support of the shoe. It's time to replace. That is your tires, right? That's what you move on, especially with today's game being as fast as it is. Change your shoes, you know, and that's a whole nother category that we can talk about, but be aware shoes have changed. Before, shoes were about durability and support, which is our Propulse Fury. Gives you great support if you're a hard mover. It's a great shoe. But also the lightweight story, the Jet shoe, which Bella makes, is one of the lightest shoes out and got named best overall lightweight shoe by Tennis Magazine, is another story if you're looking for being faster on the court. Do you need to move fast, or do you need support and, you know, durability for a hard mover? It really depends on the player. But footwear is a critical choice also in your equipment. You know, we could even go into apparel, but that's a whole other category. All those are important. And do those with the help of people like you and your local pro shop. And, you know, if you can get, you know, regular lessons, that's also helpful, just because, you know, it's a physician heal thyself type of thing. There's certain things that you just won't be able to see that will help you. So, I mean, I could go a long time on that, but those are all real important concerns.
Awesome. I definitely appreciate that piece of advice. And gosh, when you mentioned grip, I mean, I know we could talk for 10 hours on all the, you know, awesome equipment you guys have, but I guess real quick question on grips. Like, what grips do you recommend from your line? Because I know you guys have a bunch and I've used some.
So what you're looking at with grips, you've got to make a choice. You can either replace the grip. They're called replacement grips. So when your grip starts to tear, you start to see a wear out in the cover, it's time to replace it. whether it's where your hand is or at the end of the racket, replace it. So with those grips, you can get a thinner one, which is called Skin Feel for us. We put that on our high-performance rackets. More in the hybrid pure strike category, those grips are a little thinner. And a thinner grip is going to give you a better feel for the bevels in the racket and for if you make grip changes. A grip with more cushion is going to be more comfortable and easier on your hand. So that would be the Syntec Pro that comes on the Pure Drive and Pure Arrow. Another more economical use and will help to build up the racket handle a little bit are over grips. So the Pro Tour over grips is both tacky and absorbent. So if you want a tacky feel but you want more absorbent, that's a good way to go. In fact, let me back up a second. What you want to consider when you're choosing grips is the thickness, one, which was, the thinner the grip, more feel, better feel for the bevels, the thicker, more comfort. On an over grip, that will build your grip up. Some are thinner, some are thicker. Some grips are super tacky, which is going to really help you grip the racket better. Some grips are more absorbent. Mm-hmm. And so if you sweat a lot, or if you're in a region where you're going to sweat a lot because it's just humid there, you'll typically want a more absorbent grip. So the VS grip, which is what Rafa uses, is a thin grip, so it won't build up the grip very much, and it's absorbent and kind of tacky. The Pro Tour grip is a thicker grip, so it'll last longer and more tacky. And then we have a Pro Tacky that's the tackiest. So what you're trying to find with the grip is, what do you need? Do you need absorption? Do you need tacky, or do you need something in between them like the Pro Tour?
Awesome. Sweet. Thanks, Alan. I didn't want to let you go before I got some great advice on the grip. So that's great. That's great. Obviously just amazing, advice from you and stuff, and also great, summary of many of the BattleBred products. Where can we follow you and also BattleBred?
BattleBred has a Facebook that you can connect to. And we'd love to hear from you on the BattleBred Facebook, and you can learn about our latest products. We're developing BattleBred.com, which is going to have much more information on about our product and be more interactive. That's really ongoing and should be at a nice level by the end of this year.
Sweet. That's awesome, Alan. Well, you've given us so much of your time today, and I really appreciate it. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on to the show, and thank you for all your amazing efforts and hard work, and promoting tennis and teaching tennis players, and promoting great brand like BattleBred, which I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. I mean, I've used a ton of BattleBred products. I've been using BattleBred rackets for many years now, and definitely just one of my favorite tennis brands out there. So again, thanks so much for coming on to the show, and hope to chat with you again soon.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your support and your passion for tennis and all that you can help to educate players about product and equipment and to get them on the courts playing. That's awesome.
Thanks, Anna. I really appreciate it. All right. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Tennis Files podcast with Alan Iverson. I really appreciate Alan coming onto the show, and thanks as well to Eva and everyone else at BattleBred for helping make this interview with Alan happen. I really appreciate all the great information that Alan shared with us regarding tennis products in general, as well as all the great products that BattleBred has to offer. They definitely make a lot of great stuff, which I use. And so I definitely appreciate what they're doing for the sport, as well as everyone's support in listening to the show. And I also would really appreciate it if you would leave a review for the Tennis Files podcast on iTunes or on whatever app you use to listen to the show. You can go to tennisfiles.com/iTunes to get the show or visit the show directly on iTunes. And you can also go to tennisfiles.com/podcast to visit and check out the other podcast episodes on my blog. And I always love to end the show with a quote. And today's quote is from Anthony J. DeAngelo. And he said, "Develop a passion for learning. If you do, you will never cease to grow." Love that quote. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening to the show. And we will see you next time on the next episode of the Tennis Files Podcast. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files Podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit tennisfiles.com.